I think Amazon does like makes you write a press release or something before you launch a product, like way before you launch a product. And that's how people decide whether to even greenlight something. I actually think that's brilliant.
Hey, I'm Cody Bernard, and you're listening to Getting to Market, a show that gives you an inside look into what it takes to successfully launch a new product. In each episode, we'll chat with go-to-market leaders about how they go to market, covering the tools, tactics, and tricks that they use so you can take your own product launches to the next level. My guest today is Stephen Farnsworth, lead product marketer at Outreach. Today's episode is brought to you by the productlaunchmasterclass.com. This is the product launch course for product marketers that need help transforming their launches into their CEO's favorite marketing weapon. It was created by my former colleague, Dan Murphy. Dan ran product marketing at Drift and is now running brand and product marketing at Privy. Over 150 product marketers have taken the course and learned Dan's proven launch framework. You can check out their reviews of the course at theproductlaunchmasterclass.com. Now, the course normally costs $99, but because you're a listener of Getting to Market, you can get it today for only $59. All you have to do is use a promo code GETTINGTOMARKET, all one word, all caps. Again, that code is GETTINGTOMARKET, all one word, all caps. Visit theproductlaunchmasterclass.com right now to get this course. So with that, let's get into today's interview. I'm here with Stephen Farnsworth, product marketing lead at Outreach. Stephen, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Cody. Appreciate you having me on. I'm excited for this podcast.
Me too. You and I actually have quite a bit of a history working at our respective companies, Drift and Outreach, and you and I have actually done a good amount of co-marketing together. So I'm hoping this conversation can be pretty fluid and we can shed some light on some of the things that you guys are doing on the Outreach side in your go-to-market process.
We've probably known each other for, I guess it's probably been a couple of years now, which is crazy. It's probably been towards the end of 2018 that we first started working together. And you're right, ever since then, we've had lots of reasons to chat.
Right. And Outreach has just been an absolute rocket ship. I bet those past 2 years from what we were talking about then versus what we could, you know, potentially cover today in this interview are completely different things. So let's get into that a little bit. Tell me a little bit about, you know, product marketing's role in the go-to-market process at Outreach.
Yeah, it's a good question. I'll say that for us, we've experienced some pretty phenomenal growth. And so I think I'll say that growth, despite it being massive in the company, like in our revenue and our employee count, it's actually only barely starting to show up in product marketing. And so you wouldn't necessarily realize it, but like a lot of the, let's say the traditional product marketing you would expect from Outreach has been just like one or two people just behind the scenes going, you know, cranking as much as we can out. We had one product marketer, I think in 2018, that launched personally like 60 plus features. This wasn't me, this is my colleague who's great as well, but it's been I think for Outreach specifically, we're traditionally associated with being like a very outbound heavy, like sales prospecting tool. Now we're much more than that, but I think because that's so much of where we've done so well, that right there, almost put a bad light on marketing on purpose. Cause we're just like, we don't need marketing. We can just create and, you know, we can create pipeline ourselves and sales using Outreach. And so marketing kind of gets a bad rap sometimes like internally, but I think that is changing and product marketing, I think, is shifting more and more from just kind of a launch organization, somebody who's just like churning out as much features as we can and getting that out to the wider market, to now being, I'd say a lot more focused in like the kind of product development process and market validation process. And actually, I think maybe as important as like the post-launch process, which is a very easy thing to ignore. And I think we're just barely starting to like really get into how to manage that better.
Right. In one of my interviews with Chris Orlob, he mentioned that there is a big difference between a product launch and a product introduction, where the product launch is, you know, a point in time where the product introduction is the entire process. And I think where product marketing fits into all of that is it all starts back at the beginning on the inception of the idea, because obviously the idea hopefully is tied back to a pain. And do you feel like at Outreach you guys are included early on and within that process? Do you help define that, or are you guys brought in a little bit later down the line where maybe there's already done some discovery on the product side?
I would say that it probably depends on the, what we call the t-shirt sizing of every, I don't know if that's standard across like product marketing, but the sizing of what type of launch we're doing. When it's, there are a lot of launches that frankly, I don't think product marketing even needs to be involved in at all, even in the launch itself. for us, we're traditionally involved in like early on in much larger initiatives. So for example, right now, my focus is on enterprise product marketing, like straight up, what product feature gaps are there? How are we speaking to the enterprise? Just a lot that's very focused on enterprise. And so for me, I'm very involved in like market validation and trying to understand what's, you know, I'm listening to hundreds of gong calls. I mean, I listen to it at the gym. I listen to it on my drives. Like I listen to calls all day so that I can try to understand what are we missing in the enterprise process so that I can then kind of create, let's say like a workflow gap analysis that shows where are we, what are we missing on the product end to sell to enterprise. And, you know, so that for me, that's, I'm very involved early on, but I support somewhere between 3 and 5 product managers currently in my role. And there are a couple of them that I don't spend a lot of time focused, like helping out in the initial stages. And I'm more of an order taker. Once something's ready, they hand it to me and then we talk about the go-to-market, and I'm not involved in the early stages at all.
Right. I mean, the PM to PMM ratio is definitely a conversation we could probably have like an entire episode dedicated to, because I think like if you go to any sort of company and you ask what's the ratio, they're going to say anywhere from 1 to 1 to 1 to 50. Like it depends on how big the relationship is.
Well, yeah, I would say that we've had that relationship has changed dramatically for us, because we've had essentially somewhere between 1 and 2 like dedicated PMMs supporting our somewhere between 10 and 20 like product management organization for the last couple of years. It's only been recently as we've scaled up our product efforts as well. Like we've hired a lot more product managers, a lot more leadership in product that in many ways functions as product managers as well and have their own initiatives. And so now I think we're starting to get to a better like 1 PMM per every 5 to 8 product managers. But it certainly isn't 1 to 1. So I think honestly, product marketing, you have to get good at scaling your processes fast. Because outside of like, I just don't see a world where you can truly have a 1-to-1 relationship unless it's, you know, maybe it's for some massive, massive product launch that's coming out. And it's a, you know, very, from the very beginning, both are involved together.
Right. So you told me a little bit about how you do a ton of research on your end to kind of help, you know, define the market problem that you're looking into specifically with the enterprise. Let's try to take that and make it a little bit more tangible for the people listening. So you launched a product a few months ago, actually 6 to 9 months ago, which was Outreach Galaxy. So tell me a little bit more about what your approach was there. Like, were you again brought in super early on and trying to help define what the entire go-to-market was, or what was your role there?
Good question. I think this is probably not going to be a super typical answer for your audience, honestly. I actually, with Galaxy, this was back, timeline's a little off. This was back at like the very beginning of 2019, which has an annual user conference every year called Unleash. And I actually was kind of somewhat on the product marketing team, but somewhat not as well. Actually, I came from corporate strategy before Outreach, came to Outreach, and then was trying to find my seat on the bus, like where I really sat. And I ended up kind of owning some strategic projects for some of our executive team, and partnerships and integrations ended up kind of on my plate to at least figure out what we were going to do with it. And probably 5 or 6 months before Unleash, towards the end of 2018, we were just trying to figure out what do we do. Like I think integrations, you can waste a lot of time. Like I think it's extremely easy. I think most companies do. We'd had an API that existed for a long time that we'd not really marketed or talked about. We had a little page on our website where we listed a few integrations, but had never really put much focus into it. And so we were a few, man, maybe only 2 months before Unleash, and our product team, who does an amazing job at building all sorts of great functionality for our customers, was kind of in a spot where timing of what they were launching and like what was coming up was not really aligning well with what we wanted to do at Unleash, like with what we wanted to say. And so there was kind of like this dilemma internally of what do we talk about at Unleash? Like, what do we say? You know, we really don't want to get in this world where we're making a lot of promises at Unleash for things that are way out there that then can't come true. You know, a lot of companies, I think, you know, suffer from that. And so they kind of came to me, the product marketing team, product team came to me and said, you know, what, can we talk about anything in regards to partnerships? Like, is there something we can do here? And I said, well, probably, sure. And so You're always noodling on a lot of different things with partnerships. There's always, and I think what often you need is some sort of catalyst or some sort of date that then gets people to kind of like, okay, align on roadmap, align on go to, you know, on announcement plans. And so this was like our time. So we got together and we decided to kind of take this API that had existed for a long time. We identified a few areas of that we just had not developed on or spent much time on in a long time. But it had been very much requested by customers. You know, there was a lot of known pain around maybe platforms we didn't play well with yet. All of a sudden, you know, this I was given free rein to just do what we needed to do to launch something at Unleash. And so I actually, I essentially acted as the product manager for our API at that time, but without any resources. So it's hard to call yourself a product manager. I finally got one engineer for like 6 weeks where we built some really cool stuff around what our API could do. It would make us more extensible. It would allow us to close the loop between us and a lot of our other platforms. So we can send data there, they could send data back, and it would drive action in each platform. It's really cool stuff. We did that with a very little kind of low level of effort, which is one engineer. And we put together this big name for it. We called it Outreach Galaxy. We did a lot of validation around that. We kind of liked this subtle dig at, you know, CRM, which we love, and every one of our customers has a CRM, but at the same point in time, we're trying to move beyond that. So we had this, like, we got really excited about some of the messaging, like go beyond the cloud to Outreach Galaxy. There was all this like fun language in it.
Very subtle.
There were a lot of very, like the typical marketing conversations that sales makes fun of marketing for having, like sitting around and just thinking of stuff to say or how to message something, which I had made fun of in the past. I think are still, people probably take that a little too seriously sometimes. We had them. We had, you know, a couple hour conversation, like what do we call this thing? What are some fun language we could use around it? And we spent a lot of time thinking about how do we take this existing functionality and make, and with a few tweaks and additions to it, how do we make it a big story? And it became the theme for Unleash. It became, you know, we drive a lot of sponsorship revenue from Unleash. It's not something I'm personally responsible for, but now having all of these integrations that feel like they're part of the Galaxy and they're the Galaxy partners, our sponsorship, what we charge for it went through the roof. I mean, it's something it's not a cheap place to be, to market. And it became something that was like a very thematic thing in our investor conversations, in our, you know, in our pitches to customers that has, I think, set us apart and differentiated us in a way for the last couple of years. And so there's a lot we can go into on like the very tactical piece of that, I'm sure you'll have questions about, but like that there was, that's really where Galaxy came from, was this kind of moment of urgency, looking at what we already had that we didn't do a good job talking about. So it was very much, it was then the catalyst. Actually, afterwards, I was fully assigned to be on product marketing now, because it was, I think it was a feat of product marketing, honestly. And I'm still proud of it to this day.
That's awesome. And I think what you just brought up is something that's unconventional a little bit, where it's like you basically had a forcing function where you needed to bring something new to market. Because I'm assuming you guys at Outreach Unleash, you use that as an opportunity to tell the product vision, right? Like I'm assuming there's some sort of keynote or some sort of portion of the event that's dedicated to the product, which makes a ton of sense. I think a lot of companies do that. And it's a great way to get exposure for the product and to kind of tell your larger vision of the company, not necessarily the product, to your audience. So it's really great how you could say like, yes, we're going to do this, but oh my God, we only have 2 months to do that. Like that is crazy. And that's an insane timeframe. Did you have to shorten your go-to-market, your typical go-to-market strategy down a little bit? Or was it more like, I'm just going to pick and choose from these opportunities that I have and basically make this more like, you know, Frankenstein type of launch that ended up being like this unbelievable Cinderella at the end of the day?
Cool. What I'll say is it was certainly a bigger launch than typical, just because it was going to be at Unleash. It was going to be there was a lot, I think a lot to say. And I think for us, the complexity that's added to anytime you're doing anything with partners or with like an ecosystem is that all of a sudden their roadmaps and their timelines and all of that become yours. So we launched, I think we had, let's say 50 or 60 companies that like integrated. But kind of the new functionality that we were offering that we thought really told the story we essentially got, we went out to our, to the partners who had been asking for functionality like that, or we thought it would make sense for them, and got commitments from like 10 or 11 of them to help us amplify our message. And that was big for us, is like, we want on this day when we announce this thing internally at Unleash, we can only have a few thousand people there. Like, not now it scales with virtual everything, but at the time it was, you know, physical, we had physical limitations. So what we wanted is the external launch, which press releases and blog posts, just, they only get so far. We wanted, you know, 10, 11, 12 partners to be screaming from the rooftops. We're part of Outreach Galaxy, we're inaugural partners. And so I would say that like the internal launch plan for Outreach had to be shrunk down a bit, because it was so short, though I think we definitely get in spots where we have to launch stuff really fast in any tech company, I think. But a lot of it was aligning very quickly to what other companies could commit to. And I think a big part of that is even if they can't have a live, if they can't have changed their roadmap to be able to use this new functionality immediately, we had to extend more trust than I think we generally do to pre-announce certain things, like to pre-announce that people will be using this. And that's, I'm not typically a fan of that.
I think you guys had the advantage of exclusivity, which sells like crazy. Like, you had 10 to 11 people that were, you know, going to bat for you on launch day saying like, we are the people in the galaxy.
Yeah.
We are the guardians of the galaxy. Do you want to be part of this too? Which I think, like, great. If you have like a long-term promise of letting everybody who integrates with you have that same opportunity, that's completely fine. But for the other companies who are looking at you and saying, wow, we want to be part of that too, it's not only going to drive like awareness on their end, but from their customers too, because then they're going to go out, they're going to engage with you guys, look to build something, which eventually could turn into future revenue for Outreach.
Totally. And it was interesting just that, I mean, there were definitely shortcomings of some of the launch. I mean, the Galaxy itself, what we didn't really inform is all the 50 companies that had integrated before, like, hey, you guys are part of it. Like, this is just our API at the end of the day is what Outreach Galaxy is. And so I was shocked at how many emails I got right after Unleash, after all these announcements, from our current integration partner saying, hey, we want to be part of Galaxy. I was like, dude, you are, you're part of it. Sorry, this is, we had to launch some new stuff that just doesn't apply to you. And so we told the story with the others, but you know, we consider you just as strong of a partner as ever. But it was, yeah, the partners that we launched with, I mean, what I will say that really helped for us is Outreach is a sales engagement platform. And a big part of what our story was, at least in our theme for that year, was a lot of how we help sell in a multi-channel, multi-threaded way. So multi-channel meaning, you know, email, phone, direct mail, web chat, like whatever. There's all sorts of things you could apply there. With these integrations that we had, we selectively, when we were thinking of that product development process, it was, instead of kind of being, hey, we've identified a pain, let's tell the story around it. It was almost like, here's the story that Outreach tells already. And we're going to pick a few integrations that we think help us to tell that story really well. And it's a big part of what defines us. So that was like very much a traditional way for product marketing to look and say, what differentiates us? What makes us special? How do we tell our story? Let's work with the people that we want to work with. And then from there, they will help us amplify that story. And that's exactly, we worked with web chat providers, with direct mail providers, and with video platforms, like one-to-one video. And that was kind of the three categories that we used to tell the whole Galaxy story.
Yeah. And I think that is such a hard thing to find a balance with, where it's like you have a product launch, but you have the bigger company vision, right? And it's ideal if you can take those two things and basically make them one. But a lot of the times when people are actually bringing something new to the market, they only really focus on the product side. We have this new feature, we have this new integration, we have this new product, but they don't tell how it fits into the bigger vision. And I think when you're selling into, you know, more mature buyers like the enterprise or mid-market or somebody like along those lines, they want that vision. They do want, hey, yes, this is really new and awesome and it's built for me, but how is that going to help us achieve our business goals? So I think it seems like you actually were able to tell that much broader story, but leveraging the launch to do that, which I think it seems like you guys had a really good balance.
Yeah, and I think, so it's a good point that you bring up. I think a big part of that is, I mean, you have to have the entire company aligned around it. And I think the positive here is when you have clear urgency driving something. So again, in this case, 2 months, we got something coming up that we are inviting thousands of people to. What do we make sure that we tell the market? The entire company was feeling the pain of what are we saying. Unleash is a great catalyst for us every year, and it doesn't matter how much planning you put into like a big event like that, it's always going to be very painful for the marketing team and for the people to put all their time into it, you know, 2 or 3 months before it. It's just very painful. And what I'd say is if you're truly siloed, it just wouldn't be possible to get it done. With the executive team and the product team and everybody on board, becomes a lot easier to do exactly what you just did, which is, okay, we got to tell a story. We want to make sure that it aligns with the company vision as well. For us, we are very conscious of not calling ourselves a tool. We are a platform. Telling the platform story like publicly for the first time was big for us. And again, it helped us land huge funding, you know, later that year. And it's something that continues to, I mean, it's why we're the market leader, is because of stories like that, that, you know, get us disproportional amount of funding and revenue compared to our space.
Let's go a little bit deeper into those 2 months. Like, I want to talk about, you know, tactics on your end that you were actually putting together to make this launch such a success. So when you look back and you look at those 2 months, what was like, you know, your process? Like, did you put together a go-to-market plan? Did you get something up on the wiki? Did you put together a positioning document and enable the internal teams? What did that look like?
Yeah. What I'll say is that I do a lot better now, but I didn't do well at the time, like right prior to Galaxy, is that putting together a really, really comprehensive work back plan is like so important for big projects. Like for small projects, it's easy to maybe not, like planning might take you as long as just doing the project. So it's like, why even do it? And I think I'm very much of the mantra of like, let's just, if we can do it 90% as well, like in a short period of time, let's just do that. Like, we don't need to spend a ton of time trying to get it to 100%. With Galaxy, it was like, it definitely wasn't 100%. Let me be clear here. What I will say is that I would have lost my mind had I been trying to like remember all the different threads that had to be figured out with all the different partners and our product team and the field marketing team and the sponsorships team. Like, it would have been so awful had I not just sat down. I think I spent like 6 hours on a Saturday, you know, right once that we kind of said, okay, a Galaxy, or like, again, we didn't have the name, but API partnership, whatever, it's going to be our thing. Let's go. I probably spent 5 or 6 hours on a Saturday just in Asana thinking through what is every possible thing that we need to do here. And like in this case, I don't always advise this, but like I put literally the most minute, tiny, like menial tasks you could possibly imagine.
Like, I need to schedule this meeting on Monday.
Yeah, exactly. Like stuff like that. Or it's like, email this person, follow up on this email with this person, make sure this person's agreed, make sure this person's agreed. Like, it was hundreds of tasks in Asana. And that for me, like, it was a very stressful couple months. And again, it was a very, this wasn't a big team. This was me doing, you know, not acting as product manager, product marketer, all the relationships with the partners. It was a very rough time in my career. Don't get me wrong. But what allowed me to manage this thing and to manage it well and on time was having an extremely clear work back plan. And so all the positioning and the kind of the messaging and the, you know, I think the traditional aspects of product marketing, that all came with time, but it came because it was in the plan. And so, like, one of the things that was extremely useful for us is we already talked about our ecosystem somewhat well. We didn't have to reinvent the wheel. Like, I just sat down with 10 or 15 different people at the company, salespeople, our marketing leadership, some of our executives, and with my phone, just recorded them talking about our ecosystem and, you know, the power of our integration, some of the things that they felt were differentiating, our long-term vision in being a platform. And in probably getting, let's say, a few hours of recordings that way, again, Saturday afternoon, I'm sitting on my computer digesting all these, saying, what are we really saying? What is the power here? And what actually helped me, which I actually think you could do this when you don't have an event coming up, but I wrote our keynote on Galaxy really early in the process. Like, I wrote, you know, a 6-page doc that we ended up making very short later on, but I wrote up the document on what is our keynote for Galaxy at a very early stage, which then for us allowed us to kind of focus in on, what are the things in this that we really want to, I think Amazon does like makes you write a press release or something before you launch a product, like way before you launch a product. And that's how people decide whether to even greenlight something. I actually think that's brilliant. And for us, it was, I wrote the keynote and it guided a lot of kind of the direction that we took with the messaging and the positioning of Galaxy at a very early stage. So that combined with the actual plan itself is where I think a lot of the magic really happened and where, you know, it allowed me to scale far beyond myself in a very short period of time.
Yeah, that's interesting you said that, because I feel like the way that I typically go about doing it is I will start with the headline. Mm-hmm. And it's advice I got early on in my career at Drift. It was write the headline that you want people to write about you. Because if you can convince other people about the validity of your headline, then the story is going to write itself. Everything after that is basically, you know, what's in the positioning document or what's in your slide deck or your keynote presentation. And I thought that was just like, a light bulb went off in my head. And I was like, that's brilliant. Because then I can craft the narrative or control the narrative that gets written about the launch itself.
It's a good idea. We're doing something similar to Galaxy right now, where again, Galaxy was almost this, 95% of it was done. And we just needed to talk about it. And today, again, my focus has now really shifted away from our partnerships and integrations and now fully focused on enterprise product marketing. We're already like the easy thing for me is we are the enterprise product or like enterprise sales engagement platform. Like we have the best logos. We have the most functionality that they need for complex sales organizations. Like it exists. So very similar. We're 95% of the way there. What's the 5% in product that we might do to like make it a little bit easier to kind of like sell the story a little bit better? Great. But then we just need to effectively talk about that and create like kind of a lightning strike around why this is important. And so I think that's something that it's good guidance from you to think of. I'm planning kind of what are we going to do to better make this known to the market more clearly? So we're in a knife fight with all of our competitors, just like everybody else is. And to me, I like go crazy sometimes when we lose certain deals or on certain things. It's like, how did we like this? We have this, we win. Like, how did we not like the truth? I know the truth. It's like, so I know the truth. How do we lose it? And so if I can write the headline of what I want our prospects to say about outreach after this kind of this next launch. So I haven't thought of it like that. That's a really good idea and kind of this initial planning.
Yeah. I think it just like gives you kind of like a leg up in the sense where you control the narrative. And I think that's super important for any launch. Let's go back a little bit and let's talk about goal setting. I think that's one of the most important things of launches, because I feel like it's always pretty different based on what launch you have. Like if you have like a tiered launch structure, you have, you know, tier one, tier two, goals are drastically different. But sometimes there's a business goal that's driving a launch. Did Galaxy fit into any of that? Or was it more because like we needed to launch something and you guys came up with goals after the fact? Or was it, hey, we have this goal, we're obviously going to be launching this at Unleash, you know, this makes a ton of sense.
For me in this stage with Galaxy, a lot of my focus, because I was also kind of acting as the product manager, was like driving usage of these integrations. Like we are now launching integrations that everyone says they care about. People say a lot of things and then don't use this stuff. And so it was very much, and especially when you get the pressure from partners as well, they say, everyone wants this, you trust them. And then it's like, okay, no one's using this. So you were wrong. Happens more often than you think. But with Galaxy, it was like, if we're going to put in the time and effort here to build this thing, and I can finally justify having an engineer to spend, you know, 6 to 8 weeks of his time building some integration usage, I was very much focused on how quickly are we getting these integrations used. And I think the benefit there was, is that's what partners wanted as well. So we were really aligned in making sure that the product itself was being used and that was beneficial. For me, I wanted to amplify that, like to make sure that we were driving a lot of awareness. And so what I wanted to see is I wanted my LinkedIn to be full of Galaxy stuff on LinkedIn. And, you know, we tallied up like views and things that we could find out after the fact, but there was no way of us really knowing at the time. We just wanted to see it from everyone should be saying that, oh, I saw this random tool that I'm using that said that it's part of Outreach Galaxy. You want to hear about that. And so that awareness was big. In terms of like net, let's say, effect on pipeline or revenue, there were no goals for that. And I don't even know how we would have approached that. Now there are absolutely goals for like how when we have certain integrations that launch, like what revenue are they going to touch? How much are we going to, you know, push on the, let's say, marketing spend to achieve some of those goals? Early 2020, we launched our Microsoft Dynamics integration, which for us was it was, you know, 9 months of effort from engineers. It was a lot of relationship building and contracts with Microsoft. And so with how much went into that across the whole company, again, Galaxy was a big thing, but it was still just a small subset of people. With Dynamics, it was a huge undertaking. I mean, we have a full-on Dynamics professional services practice now. Like it's not fair to just say we launched a little integration. And so for that, we had a much different goal, I would say goal setting practice at the beginning of saying, if we're going to go after Dynamics, what's the revenue we're going to hit? And tactically, what are we going to do? What are the metrics that lead up to those revenue goals? And that was a big focus for us in the initial stages even in evaluating if Microsoft Dynamics represented a good enough opportunity for us in the first place.
Yeah, that's awesome when you see like a launch that happened over a year and a half ago still play a massive influence into something that's still happening today. That means that you did something right, which is just like such a good feeling as a product marketer, because, you know, sometimes those come few and far between for us. So I think you got to be very proud of yourself for that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Any big launch, like there's the little launches, you just need to develop a process that you barely have to touch it. And if it doesn't do well, if it does, it almost doesn't matter because it took so little amount of your time. It's more something that you should just be able to point back to product management and say, hey, here's what's going on. You go take a look and decide what you want to do with this feature or whatever this functionality, and I'll support you in that. But the big stuff, that's where like, you know, your time needs to really be spent on how do we make this successful. And that's where I think, you know, there's true accountability on you and the product manager to make sure that, you know, you're actually doing something that ties back to like sales, revenue.
Right. So if you had to give one piece of advice for somebody listening to this, maybe running a launch for the first time or somebody who might be, you know, up against that same timeline, what would you tell them?
I think that marketing gets a bad rap for spending so much, especially product marketing, for spending a lot of time on what do we say about this? What is our positioning? This may be a little controversial, but I think that's somewhat deserved. Okay. Like, I think it's somewhat deserved. I really think that a huge portion of my success in product marketing has been on being an effective project manager. Like what that kind of led me early on is, you know, let's build out the work back plan. Let's figure out what we need to do to launch this thing. And then we'll figure out the positioning and messaging. And there are people, frankly, in my, you know, our director of product marketing, is amazing at messaging. I could spend all day trying to write up a document, or I could record him for 15 minutes and I just save myself a ridiculous amount of time because he just said everything perfect and I can go, you know, kind of go from there from a starting point. So I would just say for a first-time product marketer, I would focus a lot on being really good at putting together the plans, communicating those plans and executing on those plans. And then the packaging, pricing, positioning, messaging, all of that, like that's all gravy and is very important, but it's all kind of the fluff on top of executing well.
That's awesome. That's really great advice. Well, Stephen, thank you so much for taking the time to come on the podcast today. I really appreciate it. I'm super excited to see where you go and where you and the outreach team take that absolute rocket ship of a company. So thank you again. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Getting to Market. If you like today's show, hit the subscribe button and tune in every Thursday to hear from more marketing pros on how they run their product launches. I'll see you on the next episode.